Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody know who Willie Lynch was? Anybody? Raise your hand. No one? He was a vicious slave owner in the West Indies. The slave masters in the colony of Virginia were having trouble controlling their slaves, so they sent for Mr. Lynch to teach them his methods. The word lynching came from his last name. His methods were very simple, but they were diabolical. Keep the slave physically strong, but psychologically weak and dependent on the slave master. Keep the body, take the mind. I and every other professor on this campus are here to help you to find, take back, and keep your righteous mind. Because obviously, you have lost it.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a logger.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Your ears doth not deceive you, folks. This is a Grindhouse mixtape slash mashup. We know that it's not quite the top of the month. For those who are stalwart listeners, they're fully aware that at the top of the month, for feces and giggles, for feces and giggles, we have a complete mashup between the Comic Shop and Afro-Nerd Radio. But this time, what the hey, there's a lot going on. We missed a show or two, so let's just bring in the uncanny Daryl B and just have a full talk fest. So we're going to get into it, folks. Again, welcome to the Grindhouse edition of Afro-Nerd Radio. With an asterisk, the mashup show, the Grindhouse mashup. And when we get back, we're going to mix it up a little bit. There's a lot to talk about. We got to talk about Stephen A. Smith putting his foot in his mouth. Perhaps. But you know you can't tell the truth. You can't do that. You should know that. And we got to talk about maybe a skosh of Hercules, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I saw this movie hours ago. Should have labeled a Marvel stamp on it. Might have done a lot better. So says the great captain. And I concur. Anyway, going to a quick groove. This is Everything. Everything by Public Enemy. Chuck D has been speaking about this whackness in current corporate hip-hop, and I love it. So to give him his due, let's go to a groove. We'll be right back.
I got no fancy car, never was no superstar. Got no Grammy trophy, got no problem if y'all approach me. Never had no Rolling Stone cover, never had no top 10 hit my Brussels. Got no TV show, got no Maybach Benz or Rolls. Got no movie roles, got no platinum or gold. Got no diamond rings, watches, and all them things. Got no way to plane. What I mean is got no private jet. But I also got no regret. Got no swag. What I got no love for something I never had.
Yeah, everything, yeah, everything. We got it all.
We got it all. You know this.
Nothing's changed. Still the same.
We got your help.
We got it all.
I'm
telling you.
Got no mansions, restaurants. restaurants, I got no yacht. Well, I got no choice but to show y'all what some of us forgot. Never was hot, never was pop, but I never ever stopped that real hip-hop. Got no paparazzi, got no company that got me. Walking alone in the hood, so it's easy to spot me, y'all. Got no million follower friends on Twitter, on Facebook, look at my friends. Got no thing for video games, got no shame saying I ain't never playing. Got no hate for things that are great, don't you know I salute. Y'all probably got the same thing. We ain't never talking about no things here now. Look at your loved ones. Look at your young ones.
I'm telling you,
if you got the old ones around, love them, talk to them, hug them, love them. Damn right.
All right, folks, time constraints. Again, legendary hip-hop group, perhaps the greatest hip-hop group there ever was, Public Enemy, everything. Folks, welcome once again to the Grindhouse Mashup Mixtape Show, courtesy of Afro Radio. First up, of course, is the Captain. Captain, you're needed in engineering. Let's get to it.
Let's do it.
Then, of course, there's the uncanny Daryl B.
We have freedom of speech in this country, but we also should realize with freedom of speech comes no freedom from consequences. Stephen A. Smith, get ready to get taken down.
We might have a disagreement here, but we'll see. We'll see. let's get to... Listen, we're going to be all over the place. For those who are intimately aware of what we do with the mashup shows, where the uncanny Daryl B. sits in beyond just pop culture stuff. We talk about pop, pulp, and political. What I want to get into first of all, and call a number. Folks, you're welcome to join in, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I want to talk about the Black Jesus Project. That's Aaron Magruder. Now, what season are we in with the Boondocks, Daryl? Is it the fourth season?
This past one was the fourth. I don't know if there's going to be a fifth.
Yeah, the interesting part, I know money usually dictates, you know, cash rules everything around me. Without Magruder's involvement with the fourth season, they came up with some respectable ratings, according to Adult Swim. So because of that, they feel more inclined to maybe continue with this product that you could feel just wasn't quite where Magruder would have where Magruder's product would have been. You can tell clearly that it's. Might have been one or two episodes that were close to Magruder worthy, but it's evident that when a creator is not involved, it suffers. So anyway, he's on to his next Adult Swim product, and that's Black Jesus. The trailer's out there. You can go to YouTube, simply put in Black Jesus / Aaron Magruder, and it'll come up. Mildly amusing. I'm not really with it. It's live action. We know that he's done live action stuff before, Red Tails, and even that wasn't the greatest, at least the way it was critiqued. But this is raising the ire of Christian groups. They're talking about boycotting this thing. The quick thing is, well, is it because it's a black man? You know, this is Black Jesus. There is a black Madonna that I think the Catholic Church has acknowledged, but is it a black thing, or is it because it shows Jesus being portrayed in a very negative light? You know, I believe he smokes, and you know, he's kind of like a bad Santa, a bad Santa interpretation. So maybe it's less about the ethnic turnaround, and I say that in quotes, but more about that he's not being portrayed the way that many Christians would want him to be portrayed. What are your thoughts about this? Let's go to the captain, and then we'll go to the uncanny. Captain Kirk, what are your thoughts about this deal with this controversy? And, you know, should Magruder have left us alone and stuck with what he knows? What's up?
I think on Darryl's opening diatribe, he nailed it correctly. All right, it's supposed to be free speech in this world, but with free speech, there comes consequences, and it's just the reality of it. The Christians, they're entitled to their opinion. There's 2.2 billion Christians at this present time, so it's a very powerful structure. All right, there's a lot of will force, a lot of energy behind the whole Christian movement. They have a lot of power, a lot of power. So they can do things with this power if they know how to harness it correctly. And, you know, they're entitled to give their opinion. I don't have a problem with them giving their opinion. That's what it is at the end of the day. Now it's just a matter of how the networks are going to respond, because there are 2.2 billion Christians at the end of the day. And that's all I'll say about it, you know. Back over to you, Seraph.
Yeah, let me just give out more information. Again, this is coming from thechristianpost.com, and it's entitled, Aaron Magruder's Black Jesus Blasted as Utter Foolishness. 1 million moms, Christians demand blasphemous show be canceled before it even airs. Whoa. You know, I'll say this also before I let the uncanny speak. You know, where are these people when hip-hop degrades us to be tribal, you know, on a wide scale? I mean, I heard someone mention something that might be plausible, that one could say that hip-hop, and I'm talking about corporate hip-hop, is so racially divisive, even though it's has black folks exhibiting cultural blackness. I say that in quotes. No other racial group would tolerate this, and there will be boycotts. Where are these Christians, irrespective of race? Why don't they garner support for something like that, as opposed to the Jesus betrayal? I'm just throwing it out there. So, but I've got off track. Someone had posited, I don't know where I saw that, but someone said, you know, that the hip hop thing is at such a red alert that this should be a class action suit. I never thought about that. One could construe a class action suit against some of these corporate higher-ups, you know, the entities, Clear Channel, and say, you know, this targeting of black folks specifically, the way that they're doing it, might be worthy of a class action suit. I'm just throwing it out there. That's something tangentially connected, not necessarily related. Darryl, your thoughts on Black Jesus?
My thoughts on it is, where have these guys been? Where have these girls been? Have you seen Aaron Magruder's stuff? He attacks everybody at every time, any chance he gets, throughout all of his works. Nobody is safe. Okay? Your religion is safe? Excuse me, if you guys are so high and mighty, why aren't any of those priests that molested those kids in jail? Oh, wait, it's so hard to get on the soapbox now, is it? Go like, you can't, don't come to me preaching high and mighty. You're the guys and gals preaching violence against gay people. You're the guys and gals that have burned down abortion clinics. So guess what? Your religion has a right to be made fun of because your guys are hypocrites. That's the way I look at it. Now, is this going to be quality or is it going to be crap? Honestly, from what I've seen of it, it looks like crap. It does. It looks like crap compared to some of his other works. All right? The humor isn't on par with his Boondock stuff. It's nowhere near on par. But, as I said before, freedom of speech, right? Freedom of speech. It's going to be a common thread today, people. I'm just telling you, they gave me an open mic. I am using it, all right? And any time they want to dump the Bible and say, oh, this is an embarrassment to us. Really, this is the embarrassment? Didn't you guys do enough of embarrassing yourselves? Oh, you can't make fun of us this way. Guess what? It's America. You could say pretty much anything at any time. Now, you guys can pick it and all of that. You guys can petition to have stuff, don't go see this, don't do this, we'll pull this product. You could do all of that. You're free to do that in this country. Notice what I said, free. You are free to do that in this country. It's an unalienable right in this country. That is great. But guess what? He's free also to do this. Who are you guys to try to take away his right? Because I just listed three things where you've not only taken away rights, but you have harmed people. He's not harming anybody with this. Food for thought. Back to you, Afronard.
Yeah, just a couple of things. I got to be fair about some of what you said. We don't want to conflate all Christians because, you know, Christians, we're dealing with different sects, you know, whether it's, whether it's a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Catholic. When you were talking about this, you kind of made it seem like, Christianity thing. You have to be specific about what sect you're talking about.
I know. I shouldn't have used the umbrella, but let's just put it this way. I'd never heard of 1 million moms until gay marriage was being proposed to be thing, and then all of a sudden 1 million moms sprung up. Never heard of the group in my life. All right, until that happened, then I was like, where was these guys when the priests were getting thing? You know, that's the problem with doing it. Say, it's a crime against Christianity. Oh, so all of you got together, all you Christians got together, held a meeting, and said that this was an affront? So if you're going to stand behind the banner and put it all over the whole thing saying we're all against this and it's just you, then guess what? I'm going to put you all under the same banner too. Like it or not, you use the free speech, there's consequences. Part of my consequences is you've made yourselves a target too. So I'm taking a look at your record. Back to you, Afronard.
Yeah, well, listen, let's be thankful that they're being respectful about this because we have to be respectful and accurate about sex, the sex of various religions. Fundamentalist sect of the Islamic faith, they wouldn't even go this far. They wouldn't be. They would be far more. We're going to kill you if you go anywhere near disrespecting Allah. And they won't even let you say something that might be untoward or something that's even mildly amusing against Allah in a cartoon, let alone a 30-minute comedic vehicle. So at least they're going through legal means to mount their dissatisfaction. So this goes to show you what religion can do. I just saw a photograph of some Islamic terrorist. I forgot what country he was coming from, but he tweeted out a photograph of himself holding up two heads that he had taken off of two human beings. The heads were actually blurred out, but there were heads, and his religion believes that's okay. So that's why I'm an agnostic to begin with. I think it's all fairy tales. I, as I say it as for feces and giggles, that I can say Jor-El is my God, and he sent his only son, Kal-El, to save us from ourselves. Equally as fantastical to me. That's just me. But it goes to show you what religion can really be about. And I will say, as far as what Darryl's saying, they need to stop this mutually selective disgust. If they have a problem with this, why do you just relegate it to the portrayal of Christ? Why aren't you dealing with, as I said before, some of what's going on against the black image? And the targeting, at this point, it comes off as if it is a targeting of black folk with this minstrel package that's called corporate commercial hip-hop. If this was those of Jewish descent being called all kinds of reprehensible pejoratives, they would not go for that. There's no way they would not go for that. But for some reason, it's acceptable to disrespect the black image. And where are 1 million moms for that? But 1 million moms, they've been around for a while, Darryl. I heard about 1 million moms maybe 20 years ago because they were against Howard Stern. So all of his fines with the FCC going back 20-plus years, it goes back to 1 million moms. So they've been around for a minute.
Okay.
I want to read this quickly from thechristianpost.com and then we can move along. But I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I mean, I like Aaron Magruder, but I'm uncomfortable with the product. It doesn't seem to be that this is a man of color portraying Jesus, because we've seen all kinds of portrayals of Jesus Christ as intellectual property, comedic, serious, morally questionable. We've seen it before. So anyway, it says here, the trailer for Aaron Magruder's upcoming live-action comedy series, Black Jesus, has been making the rounds on the Internet since last Friday. Christians are anything but amused by what the Adult Swim Network was teasing as the most anticipated comeback in history. At least one violently offended Illinois pastor, in addition to the activist network 1 Million Moms, has issued a clarion call for Christians to pressure the network to drop the Boondocks creator's new program before it even airs next month. Magruder's Black Jesus features Christianity's revered and central figure living in Compton, California, and going about a daily mission to spread love and kindness throughout the neighborhood with the help of his small but loyal group of downtrodden followers, according to a press release from Adult Swim. Although two trailers released over the weekend show Jesus played by Gerald Slink Johnson talking faith and salvation to his neighbors and spearheading efforts for a community garden, Black Jesus also shows the faux messiah dropping four-letter expletives and being accused of smoking all the effing weed, in addition to being shot at and getting carjacked. All right. Well, you know, I can see why they could have a problem, but I have to dovetail off of what Darryl was talking about. They might be a bit late on the very portrayal of Jesus Christ. I just think they're late. I didn't hear anything about his racial thing, so maybe that's not what it's about. I doubt it's about that. I just say, you know, listen, there's some other stuff you need to be about. And why is it just this? Why does it stop at this? Well, that's what I need to know. Hold on, Darryl. There are things that are going on that would be construed as anti-Christian, again, targeting the black youth with this kind of hip-hop only, specifically. Where are they? Don't stop at just Black Jesus. Let's go to other stuff. Okay, Darryl.
All right. Wasn't there a movie, I think Captain might know, where it was Joaquin Phoenix and where Jesus was this burnout in the desert and something like that hit like indie theaters, I want to say 5-6 years ago? I know I've seen it all the time on cable. I just didn't pay attention to it because, frankly, it isn't my subject matter. But Jesus was reimagined as a burnout in the desert with all of the, like almost like a Fargo type thing. I gotta look it up, but I'm thinking of a movie. If I could find the title, I'll share it with you guys later. But I didn't hear them pick at that. I didn't hear them uproar against that, and that had a nationwide release. Back to you, Afro-Nerd.
Yeah, I think that's called Jesus Save Me, something like that. I'm looking it up now.
So
I mean, he's, well, listen, again, who hasn't done a film about Jesus and some morally questionable? They're, in recent years, if there's ever a portrayal of Jesus, they always try to make Jesus contemporary and somewhat hip. You know, that he's always kind of not who you think he is. He's more grounded, more, you know, not so reverential. I mean, they've tried to do this before. So I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. I'm confused about it.
Anytime they stick up, they sound so hypocritical by choosing their fights and stuff. Like I said, I remember this movie. I don't remember any outcry about it. And Jesus or the character playing Jesus was doing heroin, was with hookers in this film. About him being born present day and doing that, and he was doing that, and here it's the only difference is the character is black, and now you hear a major uproar. That's all I'm saying. I can't stand the hypocrisy. All right, if you're saying you're not going to sully our thing, well, in this project, he's doing heroin on screen. Leaving it alone. Let's move on. Go ahead, Afro Nerd.
You know, one other thing, too, like, I mean, this is just a thing that I don't quite get. I mean, maybe it's for comedic effect, but why couldn't they have this man in like an afro or something as Jesus? Well, I mean, you know, why that, you know, it's still kind of, I guess it's kind of sort of conflating the faux historical, I got to put it that way, the European envisioned version of Jesus and this clown. So it's kind of merging that look, I guess, you know, and it's supposed to be for comedic effect, but have the man like a, you know, like a Jimi Hendrix pro. I mean, it would still be Jesus. I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of, I don't know, I guess that's just comedic effect, but I'm kind of lost. I don't know. You know, maybe we need to see more of this thing, but that's one thing, too. They're kind of going off of what they see, and it could be completely, if you know anything about Magruder's work, Magruder is good at kind of making you look one way, and then something else is going on in the other direction. So we don't really know what the product is really about until we see it fully. All right. I was going to go to a musical break, but I'm having problems with my board, so I just want to move along. Hopefully, I'll get a chance to play this clip. Let's move into because we're going to go back and forth between pop and pulp. Let's go to Stephen A. Smith, that deal. He seems to be catching it. He seems to be catching a Twitter beatdown. And, again, I'm trying to get this clip together. My board is screwing up. But, Daryl, you seem like you were rather passionate about this. Let me unpack it quickly. Ray Rice, football player, gets a 2-game suspension for physically accosting his wife. We all saw video footage of, I think both of them were inebriated. What was this at? Was this at was it in Las Vegas at the, or was it in Atlantic City? I don't know, but it shows that they were in some kind of casino, and he's dragging an unconscious woman, his wife, through an elevator. It looks crazy. So they have some physical altercation. He gets 2-game suspension. Stephen A. Smith weighs in on this on First Take, his popular show, ESPN. He's an ESPN analyst, and he's known for being rather outspoken. And he goes into a – usually he's somewhat articulate. This time around, he was a little bit inartful about how he said what he was saying. But I get the gist. He was being very careful initially, but he went somewhere that you're not supposed to go to, that I will go to, but he will not go to, about provocation. You can't seem to go there. He went there about – he said maybe we need to investigate these cases where – we can find out what's going on between both of you, that the male and the female in these situations. Are you provoking this person? So when he went there, he said women's groups, one particular coworker of his, he got into a Twitter battle with her, and he just hinted that maybe these women, you know, are you doing something? Maybe. And he was, you can't blame the victim. You're completely wrong. You're out of bounds. He was shut down. He tried to do a mea culpa. It's just a mess. You cannot blame the victim, in theory. So, Darryl, tell me what he did wrong, if he did anything wrong. What's your opinion? You seem to be very passionate about this.
All right. Having members of my family that have had physical abuse happened to him, who are female, okay? Let me just say the first thing he did wrong, okay? I've talked to Stephen before, all right? I've met him around the way a couple of times, okay? He's very intelligent. But the one thing a male reporter in the media cannot do ever, and these cases, and I don't think he intentionally meant to, is make it seem like you are blaming the victim, okay? We don't know what happened in the elevator, but the one thing we do know is when the elevator doors opened, all right, we see him carrying her. Matter of fact, the thing that's released long enough, you can actually see his arm swing before he carries her out. So we do know that there was physical contact there, all right? Where he came off wrong, and again, this is something for everybody in the media. This is not just a black thing. This is not just a male-female thing. It's when you assume, you make an ass out of you and I, okay? So he tried to take the boy on the block syndrome with this, saying, well, you're not supposed to, but if it does, this is what. And you made it sound like you were blaming the victim, her. Now, she's forgiven him. They got married after this, all right? And I know there's people like, why'd she marry him? We don't know the situation. Similar to the, was it the Jay-Z and Solange situation? No one knows what set her off in that, but you saw Jay-Z was, you know, holding back. He wanted to hit her, but you know he couldn't. He couldn't, all right? And it's something that was Whoopi Goldberg, who said, if a female hits me or the thing, I'm going to hit. She tried to make joke about it, and then she got serious. You have to protect yourself. Well, in this case, right, I think that's what Stephen Smith was trying to do. But in public, you can never do this. You can never take this stance in public if you got a high public job. Just because freedom of speech does not mean freedom from the consequences. Never. Never. You're not supposed to go here. You're a sports reporter. I know, and you're a damn good writer, and you're a damn good social commentator, all right? And 9 times out of 10, Stephen, I'm with you. But here, when you start it up, all right, all the females caught on to the fact that you made it seem like, you know, she had it coming. Essentially, that's what he said. And that's like saying, you know what, you dress her like that, you're enticing rape. You know what, just because you flirt with him and anything bad happens later, it's on you. You know, these are the type of things that guys have said, all right, trying to be either A, flippant, or B, like, it's not my fault. And all of that came oozing true, your comments, Stephen. And again, I respect them to death, all right? And you saw Michelle Beadle. Michelle Beadle is a fun-loving blonde from on ESPN, NBC. You know, she's fun. She likes to have fun. But she was serious. She went, you know what, after seeing, I can't look at him the same way again, and I know now to watch myself because I'm the one to blame. Captain, what would you say, landmine? This was a landmine, and it's the type of thing, there is no easy, like, you know, I'm sorry, I got out of, there's no easy way back because every female is going to remember you said this on air. And not that you just said it, but you are passionate about it. You believed it. That's how it seemed. This was, from 1 to 10 in gas, this was like a 9.5. There is no coming back from this. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
All right, let's go to the, I did get the clip. Let's go to the clip. And then I want the captain to weigh in. And then I'm going to weigh in, and then we're going to close shop on this. But this can be deconstructed, Daryl. Trust me, it can be deconstructed. I think I'm going to make a very persuasive argument in defense of what he actually said, because there is this thing with a kind of a steroidal reaction to when someone says something, and then that's not exactly what he said, but he might have said 10% of something, but you're going to levy it at 100%, and I think that's patently unfair. So let's go with what he really said. And how people are interpreting it, because people are hearing, listening, two different things. To hear and to listen, two different skill sets. So let's go to this, and then we'll unpack further. Hold on.
For HuffPost Live, I'm Logan Tittle. Many are questioning the NFL's decision to suspend a player for just 2 games after he was charged with third-degree aggravated assault. In February, Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice was arrested after he allegedly knocked his then-fiancée unconscious during an altercation at Atlantic City. The 27-year-old pleaded not guilty and was able to avoid a standing trial, but he received a fine from the NFL and will not be allowed to play in the first 2 games of the season. Some believe Rice got off too easy, especially compared to Cleveland Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon, who was suspended for twice as many games for smoking weed, not violence against women. But one ESPN analyst tried to turn the conversation around and failed miserably. In a segment Friday, First Take's Stephen A. Smith started out saying men have no business putting their hands on women, but then followed with this.
But as a man who was raised by women, and I think that just talking about what guys shouldn't do, we got to also make sure that you can do your part to do whatever you can do to try to make sure it doesn't happen. We know they're wrong. We know they're criminal. We know they probably deserve to be in jail. But at the same time, we also have to make sure that we learn as much as we can about elements of provocation.
And with that, the focus went from the NFL's punishment to Smith. Even his own colleague, Michelle Beadle, didn't hold back in calling him out. She immediately voiced her outrage on Twitter. After watching the segment, the Sports Nation host tweeted, "So I was just forced to watch this morning's First Take. A, I'll never feel clean again. And B, I'm now aware that I can provoke my own beating." She also revealed she was once in an abusive relationship and called Smith's comments irresponsible and disgusting. After an explosion of backlash on the internet, Smith released a statement that reads in part, "I want to state very clearly, I do not believe a woman provokes the horrible domestic abuses that are sadly such a major problem in our society. I wasn't trying to say that or even imply it."
All right, Captain, I want you to weigh in on this, but I'm telling you, for Smith to say elements of provocation, And then everyone else weighs in, you're blaming the victim. I mean, I'm gonna say my piece, but he goes 10%, people weigh in on what he said at 100. That's patently unfair. The guy, Mr. Smith, came in with all the cushion. Captain, go ahead. I'll weigh in.
All right. What one has to understand, all right, the syntax of the matrix. Now, follow me with this. Follow with me. I'm going to get mathematical. But everyone should be able to keep up because this is Afro Nerd. It's the comic shop along with the Afro Nerd. Now, follow with me. Follow me. Follow me. I'll go slow. The syntax of the matrix that we're in is not language. It's mathematics and the emotion. And I'll give you an expounded answer. It's actually mathematical physics and emotion. Where am I going with this? Follow me with this. All right? And understand this is beyond reproach because I'm using Penrose mathematics. Penrose mathematics. Penrose is the best mathematician that we've seen in the last 200 years. When you use a different mathematician, people will try to challenge you. But even mathematicians, when you quote Penrose, they quake in their boots. This is what I use a lot of times to do my diatribe. So it's beyond reproach. Penrose road to reality. Now let's look at it, all right? The reality that we live in. It is a soliton. What does that mean? Soliton mathematics. Just look at a rubber sheet, and you have a wave on one side, and the other side you have a wave. Let's go into the Muslim world, all right? In the Muslim world, the female is a dog. She is a breeder. You can whip her. You can beat her. You could do whatever you want. She is a dog. You are the master. You are powerful. You are the one. Okay, now, in what we call the powers that be, the white world, the West, who is the dog? Who is the dog? The man is the dog. You say, how so? Let's look. Athlete goes out. Let's say you're sitting on $50 million. You get a divorce from a woman. She takes $25 million, straight up and down. Men here worship the females. You go out. You kill for her. You die for her. You sit at home. You go out and work. That's what you do here. If a bunch of men are standing on the corner and you're talking business just for that given time, a nice woman goes by, you lose your mind for 15 minutes. And you can't even talk business. That's what dogs do. You are the dog. So the female can whip you in this side of society. Now, this also links up to Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton is a powerful dog. Powerful. Not you. You're just a chihuahua. How does Lewinsky. How does she nearly bring down a presidency? Because the women, believe it or not, it's a woman-run world on this side of the globe. That's the reality of it. Now, if that was a Muslim world, it's infinitesimal at best. Doesn't happen. You see, so they're mutually exclusive. Muslim world and the American world. That's why all of this multiculturalism, you want to bring Muslims here and everything else. Now, of course, people will say, well, there's different sects of Muslims. But it doesn't take long when the dominant aspect is jihad, as you see Sunni Muslims helping out Hamas and vice versa now, where they either hunt down the other Muslims and take them out. So they need to stay on their side. That also links up with the jihadists that beheaded the man in London, the soldier in London. He had no business living in there, the jihadists. He needs to stay on his side of the soliton. And we stay on our side. That's more or less how it works. Now, what do you say? What does this have to do with Ray Rice? What does this have to do with Stephen A. Smith? If you listen to his statement, he really didn't say anything wrong. But when you're a dog, you get whipped for even saying something that's sensible pertaining to women. You get whipped on this side of the world. When you are an athlete and you go out and you make all the money, your woman comes along and says, you have to give me half. That's how it works on this side of the world. When you're a man that makes 100 grand a year, and you go through a divorce, you go, oh, it's all right. She can get the house. She can get the two kids. And then you turn around, you're paying alimony, child support, and you have the same room that you had as a teenager. But you're out there working. This is how it works on this side of the world. Muslim world is different. And, of course, it's different Muslims. Zionist Muslims are like us pretty much over here. But when you're pertaining to jihadist Muslims and Hamas-type Muslims, which are the dominant ones, it won't be long before the rest of them are either hunted down, they follow them. So that mentality has no business being over here. So in other words, Ray Rice and Stephen A. Smith have to look at the mathematics. The mathematics says you cannot do that here and get away with it in any way, shape, or form. That's just what the mathematics says. And when you go against the mathematics, people, females, begin to go crazy to the point where they don't even listen to what you say. Because why would you listen to a dog? You don't listen to a dog. Listen to what Stephen A. Smith said. All right? Listen to what he said. You don't listen to a dog. You just whip the dog. So they came out and they whipped Stephen A. Smith. They whipped Ray Rice. That's what happened. Opposite side of the soliton, in another world now, infinitesimal. Doesn't happen. You understand? You see the difference. You see the difference. And that's what happened with Bill Clinton. That's why this little infinitesimal female who's not really that was almost able to bring down the presidency. Because the women have the power here. You are the dog here. You do everything for the female here. Different views, different ethics. So I'm not here. Just look at the mathematics. You have to be very careful when you're dealing with women based on the mathematics on this side of the globe. Now, if Ray Rice wants to do that, yeah, go to the Muslim world. It's not a problem. The Muslim female's the dog. Over here, even if it was a problem, even if it was her fault, Ray Rice is going to get in trouble here because you are a dog. That's the reality of it. The woman got the rights. How many times a man has been walking down the street here and a woman is beating up on the man and the police turn around and say, ma'am, are you all right? What's going on? Because you are the dog. So you have to worry about the female. That's all. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
I'm gonna go to a musical break, but I'm gonna go into one quick thing that's on our Facebook page, again, Afro Radio Facebook. And actually, it's a sliver of black victimization, but I wanted to apply it to women's victimization because you're still talking about protected classes, whether you are a minority, whether you are a person of color, whether you are a woman. We cannot discount the fact that women and men are not equal, even in the Western world. I gotta kind of moderate a little bit respectfully to the captain. Not that I don't disagree with him completely, but I think what he has to say has to be moderated. Because, listen, there are human rights abuses going on with women in the Middle Eastern world, and what's going on over there is reprehensible. They're in the 12th century. As I just noted, there's a man that bluntly and blatantly tweeted out a photograph of himself holding up two heads and smiling. So when you see that, this is the Crusades. So we have to understand that women, he says rightfully, women are getting maimed. And you're talking about absolute victims over there. It's absolute victims where women, if a man just does not want to be married, he can just proclaim that his wife was unfaithful and she can be killed without any kind of investigation or anything, just on his word. So women have absolutely no rights in that section of the world. In the Western universe, decades ago, going into hundreds of years ago, white, moneyed, propertied males had all the power. And to a certain degree, to a large degree, they still do. But things have changed, and there has been greater evidence of a type of equalization. They're trying to equalize the rights of men and women in the society. Women still make less than what men make. I mean, it's, we can go point for point for what is incorrect in the society. But there is a deal. There is a power in victimization, folks. Listen to what I say. Just like you should have listened to Stephen A. Smith when he said elements of provocation. Elements of provocation isn't the same thing as saying blaming the victim. It's not. You went from 5 miles an hour to 100 miles an hour, and that's patently unfair. And that's because there's a power to victimization. Now, I'm going to read this thing. I'm going to go to a break, and I'm going to come back to it. This is in response to in an excerpt or an interpretation of Dr. Shelby Steele's The Content of Our Character. For those who have been listening to the show, I reference this book a lot. I would implore our audience to pick it up. It's about a 20-year-old book. You can probably get it for a couple of pennies off of Amazon. Matter of fact, go to afronerd.com. There's a link to that book. Help us out a little bit. Whatever you want to pay, you can go to that link from afronerd.com, the link for that book, The Content of Our Character. Anyway, this is an interpretation of the book, this quick thing I'm going to read. And it is the hallmark for my development as far as my philosophy, the Afro-nerdism. It comes from this. If you superimpose what Dr. Steele says about black victimization, the power of black victimization, again, listen to what I'm saying, the power that comes from black victimization, you can put any protected class in this, and it will still come out the same way. So listen to this. I'm going to go to a break, and then I will elucidate. It says, for their part, Steele says, many blacks use their past subjugation and oppression to claim innocence and pursue power, then embrace a victimization, which he calls the primary black problem in content, is perpetuated by black leaders whose livelihood depends on a constantly victimized flock whose members are convinced that their individual efforts will avail nothing against the intrinsically racist society in which they live. This is an abdication of initiative, Steele claims, that has contributed to the depressing statistics on illegitimate births, poverty levels, dropout rates, and crime that define the lives of too many black Americans. These social ills, Steele contends, also stem from the celebration of underclass standards and values. Okay, I'm going to leave it at that. But what he's saying is that if you are a victim, you are a victim in perpetuity. It means you never take responsibility for any inclination for your lot. So you can't say there's an element of provocation with black people. You can't take any responsibility for what you do. Ms. Knowles, what's Beyonce's, now I'm forgetting her name.
Solange,
right. Solange Knowles that was beyond an element of provocation, Daryl. He was within his rights to defend himself. The insulting part is, hear me closely, because I don't think it can be deconstructed. It infantilizes Solange. Oh, she's a woman. You know how they are. You just have to tolerate that. Now, I would never do it. I would never, never, ever. I would have done exactly what Jay-Z did. That's what you just do. But that was an element of provocation on steroids. Men provoke each other all the time, gender to gender. If I go into a bar and throw a drink on somebody, that's provocation. Or if I say something to him, and it happens all the time between men. Now, if we're going to be equal, which is what we're striving for, there's going to be element of provocation that is separate from I'm blaming the victor. All he said was investigate these cases to make sure that everybody is doing. It's not as if a woman could be sitting and knitting or sitting and just cooking and then her man hits her upside the head. But if this woman says, hey, I filleted your fellow player last night, what do you think about that? Again, I said that's not supposed to be an element of provocation. I'm just saying. This is not the show. Daryl, you know this is the Afro Nerd. We break things down and we deconstruct them. We cannot continue with this belief that you never blame the victim. It's not you can't say blame the victim from an element of provocation. If I say your mother, I hate your mother is yada, 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 that might be an element of provocation.
Okay.
You see how much sense you're making right now, Afro Nerd? All right? You see how much sense? You're making a lot of sense. Now, let's say you was on ESPN right now. You might not get out of it. Yeah, you would get out of there alive, but, you know, you would get a lot of backlash. You get a lot of backlash, and you made sense. This is Stephen A. Smith made sense. You made sense.
The player, and he did something reprehensible. Because, you know, if you remember, he killed his pregnant wife, what, like a year ago? Killed his pregnant wife and then killed himself in front of his coach. You remember that?
Yeah,
There was a rumor, unconfirmed, that before she was shot, she had said, "This isn't your child. I'm effing somebody else." In words, what you gonna do now? How you like me now? You know what? That might be an element of provocation.
Yeah, but that's taking a life.
Come on now.
That's taking it a step too far. All right, I'm with you. Hold on. You went too far, though. Words are not supposed to take people's lives.
Daryl, I'm going to respectfully beat the liberalism out of you.
Because
what I'm saying is this. We know it's beyond and worse. Liberals think of how things are supposed to go. I'm telling you how things are going. Yes, you should be able to say anything you want to say and not lose your life, but that is not how things work. Either you're going to deal with how the world really is or how the world is supposed to work. This show is supposed to be worth $2 million, okay? But the Breakfast Club has a deal. If things are fair, because we're dropping knowledge. But life isn't fair, Daryl, that's what I'm saying. There are elements of provocation. I defy you to deconstruct if one of these Shaniquas, because, again, some of these guys are also marrying women of a certain tier level. If Shaniqua tells Raekwon, the football player, hey, nigga, I went down on your best friend last night. What do you think about that? That might be element of provocation.
Okay.
Listen to this. Now, look. Make some good points. Everybody's making good points. You have to look at this
side
over
here. Does it make it right? But the element of provocation.
Hold on. Now, if you look at empirical evidence, right, and also scientific evidence, who's better with the children? Based on empirical evidence, it says that a man is actually better and more important, and also scientific data now. Well, who gets the kids? Who's the one that gets the kids? That's not right. They just assume because it's a female, because they have the man as dog status here. They're not looking at the facts. The facts is right in their face. We actually run the test in real time in the black community. We see what's happening. Of course, that happens for a different reason, all right? Out of the, was it 80% now for the out of wedlock birth rate? That's about what it is right about now, 80%. That happens for a different reason, of course. But we can see how this society runs. They don't look at the facts. They don't look what's going on. They just go, man, you're a dog. You're going to get whipped. Let's see if you survive. That's what they do. So even when you bring in your great facts to the forefront, Afrona, then they're great. They're going to whip you. Doesn't matter over here. They're going to whip you. They're going to whip you, these women, man. These women will whip you. They don't want to look in the mirror. They will whip you. And that's what you have to realize.
And listen, I don't believe I would never hit a woman. I wasn't raised that way.
And this is exactly what, and even Steve A. Smith said that. He said there's never a reason. But you but you do have to look at these cases to say, you can, maybe it's not wise to provoke this dude. But what they're saying, but what they're really saying, which is really insulting, is that women are not responsible for themselves. Solange Knowles was not responsible for herself because we secretly believe that women are infantile. They're not. She's a woman. She's a woman. So you know how they are. She was on her period. We don't know. You know, that's insulting.
And
in my
world, that's where your initial statement is wrong.
That is where your initial statement is wrong.
There is a time when you can hit a woman. And I'll say it right there. There is a time when you can hit a woman. If your life is in jeopardy, if you can't restrain them, there is a time when you can hit a woman. That's what Whoopi Goldberg was saying. I totally agree with her. There is a time when you can hit a woman. What you just did is the same thing as saying you should never hit a woman. Yes, there is a time to hit a woman. If you are in physical jeopardy of losing your life, if you are in mortal danger and it's at the hands of a woman, you can hit a woman. All right? You just told me not to paint everything over a broad brush. You just told me. You just told me not to do it. You just did it right there.
It's getting hot. Yeah, boy.
Now, listen, I'm not disagreeing with you, but you know it's hard to get to where you got right there because the public doesn't even want you to go there. They would like you not to even go there. You just agree with me. Anyone knows that, but how many cases will you see? They will tell you, That's an exception. That's not the rule. Listen, women are getting killed. Let's not be facetious. Let's not be ignorant. Women are getting killed in horrible ways by men. Now, we have victims here. Let's be honest. We have victims, but at the same time, some of these cases still, even with that, we still have to analyze them. They have to be analyzed. There's got to be some logic going on here. We have a caller.
Let's go to the caller.
We got to go to a group because too much time has gone past. They've been holding. Continue holding. We'll get right back to you. Just hold on. It's hot. It's the Mashup Grindhouse Show.
Good radio,
guys. This is what we do. We'll talk about Shazam in a minute. But we keep it this way. We go back and forth. Pop politics. This is how a show is supposed to go down. You can go to Steve Harvey and proselytize all you want. I'm just saying. It is what it is. All right. Let's go to a quick groove. Hey, guess what? And appropriately called this groove, Ain't My Fault. Let me cry if it's Mos Def. Ain't My Fault. We're right back. Let's groove.
Marshbacks with a hurricane shelter at the Dodge Net. they say they go to the rock to hide their face. See the rock crowd out, know how to play. See they go to the rock to hide their face. See the rock crowd out, know how to play. See they go to the rock to hide their face. See the rock crowd out, know how to play. See the rock, 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 rock.
My fault. Lenny Kravitz, Most Def. Folks, this is the Grindhouse edition of Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, the Grindhouse mixtape slash mashup. Give me the absolute very best of urban alternative groove, black rock, afro punk, which is coming up in a few weeks, Daryl. Beware. It's going to get down. The other side of blackness will be shown. Trust me on that. Let's go to the phones, open up the lines. Again, feel free to call in. The water is warm, 646-915-9620. Caller, welcome. Who are you? Where are you calling from? What's up?
Hey, this is Bison for Life.
Bison, what's up,
Bison? Hey, Bison.
Yeah, I can't talk long. I'm in Hall H at San Diego Comic-Con. I was going to give you guys an update on the market.
Oh, my God. wow.
Check you out.
Okay.
You know I'm lying. You know I'm lying. I just said that
Oh,
okay. I was about to say, like, very quiet for being in San Diego.
Hey, I had to inject some levity in here because, you know, this is getting kind of heated, and it's sort of like abortion. You know, both sides are very passionate about their side. So I'm going to just say this and let it go. I've lived in Africa. I lived in Afghanistan. I lived in Iraq. I lived in Asia. And trust me, and in some of these were non-Muslim countries, status of women was so low. And like Diebert said, a man's word can get a woman killed. There's still places where there are honor killings. In India, they burn women alive. They stone women. So let's not be fast and loose about, you know, violence towards women. I know everyone has their own linchpin And let's just be, you know, Stephen A. Smith, he works for an organization that's swimming through a whole lot of lawsuits in regards to sexual harassment. So, because I know some people who work there behind the scenes, so a lot of people are walking on eggshells in regards to dealing with the opposite sex. But at the end of the day, which I don't like, and, you know, this hasn't been brought up, is, you know, it's sort of like violence against black women. It's always, you know, what did she do? You know, but, you know, no matter what she did, she didn't deserve to get knocked out. Now, there are instances, I don't condone hitting a woman, period. You just remove yourself from the situation unless she, you know, pulls a gun in your face, and then you do what you got to do. But I just think violence towards women is just, to me, that's a sucker's way out. And I was just raised that way. I'm old school. I'm a child of the 70s. And I'll just end with that.
Yeah, and you know, Bison, you bring up a tangentially good point here, okay? It's totally changed the focus off of where we're looking at, all right? We're looking at ESPN. We're looking at Stephen A. Smith. We're looking at the things he said. The NFL is making out like bandits here. I was a black woman knocked out cold. Wasn't slapped. Wasn't hit. She was knocked out cold. The force needed to knock somebody out is close to deadly, all right, in some people's hands. And Ray Rice is a running back, and he's a strong dude. You never know what could have happened with that, all right? The NFL to only give him two games. If you get picked up for marijuana and you're the NFL, it's 4 games. Second violation is like 8. Third violation is like 1 year, all right? So essentially what the NFL just said is a violent act towards a woman caught on film isn't as bad as getting caught with a joint.
But, Daryl, let me ask you this. As crazy as it sounds, what does that have to do with him being with the Baltimore Ravens? Now, that's where you get into.
No. I'm just saying a running back with the Baltimore Ravens. I'm just naming his pro team. It doesn't mean that it's because he's in Baltimore because, listen, I'm a Miami Hurricane fan with college. Right? I could list the whole rap sheet of my guys and how we have to change that whole culture down there too. I'm just saying I'm giving his bio as I'm doing it and just telling you that this the Ravens are a strong team. This is a strong player, and he hit this woman with enough force to knock her out. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't a slight against Baltimore. Baltimore, I know, Bison, you're from the area. I'm not downplaying the and people of Baltimore, no offense. I'm just saying, if you know the Ravens, you know how strong that team is. You know they do everything strong. They hit strong. They tackle strong. Defense and toughness is a strong point with that team. All right?
No. What I meant with this is, let me just kind of give an analogy.
Okay.
In my job, if I have an altercation with my wife and the police comes to your house where I live in Virginia, someone's going to jail, and the outcome of that is me losing my security clearance. So that has an action off the job has an effect on the job.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, what does Ray Rice's – now, I know it's the shield for Roger Goodell, but what does Ray Rice – domestic violence caught on tape has to do with him being a player in the NFL. I think that's where you've seen a lot of dichotomy on sports talk radio. Well, I think he should be locked up. But what does that have to do with his job and what he did?
Like I said, I didn't make it clear. I'm just saying, from his background with the team, what you have to do to be a part of that Raven team, all right? Like it or not, that is part of your makeup in going into a situation like this, all right? So he's a strong running back. He knocked this woman cold, out cold, all right? Caught on tape. And again, anybody can knock anybody out. Given the circumstances, anybody could knock anybody out. You may get a lucky punch. That's where the term lucky punch comes from, all right? But still, all right, the major thing that I'm railing on again, is that we've changed the narrative here, all right? It's all about Stephen A. Smith now. You're not hearing Ray Rice. It's all about Stephen A. Smith and his comments. You're not hearing the NFL and the punishment. It's all about Stephen A. Smith now, all right? So, again, like I said, people of Baltimore, if I offended you, I'm sorry about that, all right? I just wanted to give background.
Well, here's the thing.
We have another caller as well, but
quickly.
Okay.
Quickly. Let me just say this quickly, Anthony.
Caller, hold on.
You see my point of view. Even, let's say you were wrong, Afro-Nerd. You're considered wrong. Let's say what you said was right. You're considered wrong, Afro-Nerd. You see my point of view? You see my point of view. That's all that I'm saying.
Yeah, really.
That's my point of view with this. That's my point of view. There's no in between.
To go even further, what I don't like is that Steve A. Smith really tried to give a measured or at least a couched opinion because he cushioned everything.
Yes.
He said you can't. You know, you said there's no reason to hit a woman. All he said was, "Listen, we have to. I think logically." God forbid me, I think logically. That there are even, can we admit that there are gradations to victims? Let's really get into this.
You're not allowed to say that.
Listen, that's like not being allowed to say 2 + 2 = 4. You may
yes,
not like
not
me. Not like,
you're not
let's
though.
Go into, let me complete this.
Go ahead.
No one wants to admit logically that there are gradations to victims. What does he mean? A woman coming from a subway stop, hardworking, yada, 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 minding her own business, gets physically accosted, gets brutally raped, just coming back from her office. Is she the same level of victim as someone who is a party goer who decides to take roofies or decides to take Molly and goes to a club or goes to some kind of
gathering, and gets raped. Both of victims are they the same? What I'm saying is, do you give any accountability for that person's actions? Like, are they the same victim? Is that the same victim as someone who's coming home from work, not doing anything, or someone who goes to a party, high, inebriated, and then could have gotten a car and killed someone, or something bad happens to them? Something bad is going to happen because you are not in your own senses.
Now you're talking degrees. That's bad, dude. I can't measure one crime against the next.
You can. You can. The thing is, you can't blame the victim. You can't blame the victim. Now what happens there, Daryl, it's disrespecting the woman who was an absolute victim. Because that woman who could have gotten in a car, could have killed somebody, could have done all kinds of harm, ends up getting harm. But we can't give any accountability to her because she's a victim. She fits under that umbrella. There are different levels of victimization. But in this world, you can't even go there. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Let's go to the call. The reason
why
I called the Afro show.
This is good. This is good today.
But we're all the same. We're all the same.
Good today.
301. Welcome to AfroNerd. What's up? Name.
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, gentlemen.
We know we're going to get it now. You are going to get it now.
You will get it now. Listen, gentlemen. You got it wrong, gentlemen.
I love it.
She is no victim. She is no victim. After she got knocked the hell out in an elevator and dragged out of it like a... And your boy Rice looked like a stone cold thug. Okay? I'm like, is he robbing her or what? Listen, what did she do, D-Bert? She married the dude. She married him. So how the hell do we expect the commissioner to come down on this guy, okay, with anything more than 2 games, I think it's too harsh, when she married the dude and had a press conference saying everything's all right? And they're working on their stuff. That's ridiculous. The guy's a NFL football player, a running back, a top five, top ten running back. This girl Little, he knocked her the hell out. Okay? And I'm supposed to consider her a victim when she turned around and married the dude? No. And I'm going to tell you something else about this domestic violence crap. Because women go do a lot of heinous stuff. Okay? Any woman that will run to a nonprofit or some social services and claim that she is being beaten up in a domestic violence situation, more than likely, 50% or more of the time, the woman is lying. A woman that's involved in domestic violence gets her ass beat quietly. She doesn't run to anybody. And that's a disgrace. Women who do that, who go in and say they've been abused, more than likely there's something else going on and they're lying. Because a woman that's in that situation is paralyzed to defend herself or to even speak out. Most of them who are getting beat up are just like this woman who got beat up by Ray Rice. They turn around and they support the abuser. That's the crime here. It's ridiculous. And we expect the NFL to step in and say, okay, sit out the season or take 8 games? When the woman married him and said, hey, I love Ray. He's my man. He's my husband. You know, we're working it out. Which I thought was ridiculous, but hey, to each his own. That's a personal matter. Let them work it out, as she said. Now, has she went to the police, filed charges, okay, and went through that? Then I can say, yeah. Commish, you need to get this guy some serious 8 months, eight weeks to a year time for what he did. But she said, hey, I don't know, it was her fault or whatever. Come on, it's ridiculous. And that's the crime here. You see, we can't look at domestic violence through our personal lens and just ignore that there's a victim here who has acquiesced to the beatdown. Dang, I can't put it no other way. And it's sad. If that was my daughter, I would have went on that stage when they gave that press conference and beat the hell out of Ray Rice and beat the hell out of my daughter. Okay? No way you are NFL running back. Running back. Top five running back. You take it not to throw out like that. Come on. That's enough. I got no more. I got no more. Thank you, D-Bird.
Hey, as much as I want to fight on some of his points, he made some good points there. Battered women syndrome is what it's called. You know, it's the same thing. And again, I could see that too. If she filed charges against him, you know, there it goes. The NFL, then they could have done their bigger ban too, you know. But she turned around and married him.
You see what he did there? You see what he did there? He did reasoning. But they're not trying to hear reasoning. They're not trying to hear reason. It's a response. Break out the whip. You're a man. You're a dog. Whip you. All right? Black achievement, incredible reasoning. Afro nerd, incredible reasoning. But they have to whip you. That's how they operate. That's how they operate.
Well, listen, we're going to go into something else. We're going to go somewhere else, another victim, another case.
Here we go.
And now, Daryl, interestingly enough, I saw what you wrote in an email exchange about this young man, this man who died tragically, Mr. Eric Garner. We're going to go into that, but it's of a similar thing, kind of. And I got to repeat this thing again. See, this is what I mean about what victimization is. Victimization is a route to power. Now, people think that's an oxymoron. How can you be a victim and yet go for power at the same time, pursue power? Let me go into this. How can you be a victim and pursue power from victimization? People do this. This, in my estimation, is a part of, if you're going to construe it this way, the black problem. Blackness, whether you're black, whether you are Latin, whether you're a woman, whether you're gay, whether you're Jewish, okay? When you are part of a protected class, one can say, okay, you're subjugated. But we also know that there is a power in your past victimization, your past subjugation, that if I'm a victim. I'm a victim. I can do no wrong. There's no gradation to my victimhood, and I play no role in it. You see how this works? So if I'm Mr. Garner and someone tells me to comply, I don't have to comply. I don't have to listen to you. Don't touch me. So when I get choked out and I get killed, I'm the victim. He is the victim. But he was arrested 31 times.
Watch how I break it down.
He was arrested 31 times. If you're arrested 31 times since the age of 16, you know how this goes. Okay? So I'm going to read this thing again to our audience because it is the root of – I cannot deconstruct this. I read this 20 years ago. And it was so much clarity in what Dr. Steele said, I could not deny it. There's some truth. Even if you don't believe it wholesale, you got to believe it partially. Let me read this, and then we're going to go into the Eric Garner story. For their part, Steele says, many blacks use their past subjugation and oppression to claim innocence and pursue power. This embrace of victimization, which he calls the primary black problem in content, the name of the book, is perpetuated by black leaders whose livelihood depends on a constantly victimized flock whose members are convinced that their individual efforts will avail nothing against the intrinsically racist society in which they live. I'm a victim of racism. I can't go out and get a job. I don't have to get a job. I can wait in line right now and get these brand new Jordans that are coming in. I don't have to do anything. The white man is the cause of my problems. I don't have to do anything. If I knock you upside the head, if I, like in Philly, if me and my Latino brethren are riding high, smoking dust, and knocked down three children, killing them, true story, not my fault. Ain't my fault. We're both victims. We're victims. The white man's on our, the white man was chasing us. Not my fault. Do you observe this? Ladies and gentlemen, do you see how absurd this is? Sure, you're a victim, but do you remain a victim? What they tell, you know what they tell rape victims? You know what they tell rape victims is you were raped, yes. You were a victim, but you don't remain it. You survive. There's a difference between being a victim and a survivor. If you're a perpetual victim, it's a difference between being a perpetual victim and being a survivor. I don't see too many black folk discussing themselves being survivors of the Middle Passage. See, I'm not a victim. I'm a survivor of the Middle Passage. That's more groundbreaking. When you hear, God bless those of Jewish faith, they say we're Holocaust survivors. They don't always say victims. They do mix it up. They contrast it. But we are victims in perpetuity. We rarely say survivors of the African Holocaust. If we started flipping it like that, then we could proceed. But if we continue to say, hey, the white man is the problem, no matter what I do, I don't have to get a job, I don't have to wash my ass, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to move along. I'm not responsible for anything. I'm not responsible. I can, if I'm a woman, I can take as much Molly as I want, Molly and dust, and if I get raped up, what led me to that is irrelevant. I'm a victim. Just as victim as a woman that leaves from work who was absolute victim. We're the same. Come on. Let me see if I can find this Garner clip. Gentlemen, let's go to Daryl. What are your thoughts about Eric Garner? To the listening audience, Eric Garner was a 43-year-old male living in Staten Island. It's all over the internet, who was allegedly breaking up a fight and also allegedly selling what's commonly referred to as loose cigarettes, which is small potatoes in the realm of things. I mean, very small. Police saw this. They intervened. They told him that they were going to arrest him. He did not really comply. They wrestled him to the ground. They put him in a chokehold, which really is against police regulation. And this man, who was 400 pounds, he pretty much died at the scene. But he was arrested 31 times previously. He was a victim, tragedy, but I don't know. Daryl, you got to go into this. You have some military background. You have a military training. You had a certain way of looking at this. I want you to expound on that.
My way of looking at it is once you have him restrained, okay, there are 5-6 cops on the scene. Six cops, all right? Once you have him down, you put the cuffs on him, all right? If you notice on the video, the dude didn't release the hold for a good 40 seconds. 40 seconds. The other cops, none of them are restrained him. They're all just, like, looking down. Not one of the cops go, all right, ease up, backup's here. Not one of them, all right? I have a dad in law enforcement, all right, retired, okay? I've been trained military style, okay? I'm looking at this video like this, and I'm like, you know what? You guys may have been apprehending him. I don't know what he did. You may be apprehending him, but your negligence led to his death. It's not victimization. It's not that you killed the dude, and it's got videotapes. I'm trying to hear the excuses now. I want to hear the excuses now, all right? You're law and order officers, okay? This one is actually caught on videotape. You're supposed to restrain, turn over, cuff, bap. You let the cop hold this chokehold on him for close to 40 seconds, if that. He's a big dude. Again, his previous arrest record noted. All right, what he was doing there, do I consider that a major offense? No. But there was, it's 6-on-1. 6-on-1, and none of the six. And again, not even choke aside, none of the cops there, they say, okay, ease up. And you could see his eyes rolling in the back of his head. Does this make me pissed off? Damn right it makes me pissed off. Again, cops and black people, we don't have the best relationships, all right? But I have people in law enforcement. And it kills me every time you say, all cops are pigs. These few have tainted law enforcement in the eyes of the black community, all right? Again, this is why I'm passionate about it, okay? Because I'm supposed to protect the people that at the same time will want me dead. You know? And this does not help in the least. Like I said, each and every one of those cops on this tape should be fired as of yesterday. No offense to their families or anything. But your duty is to protect the peace and protect the civilians. Protect the peace, protect the people. Okay? And that includes who you are arresting. How dare you? How dare you sully our names again? Enough said. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
All right. We got a clip before we bring the captain. I have a clip. And I have a comment. Comment and clip, then captain. The comment is, you know, folks, and Daryl knows this intimately, there's always this notion that for those who are purveyors of graphic novels, of pulp culture, I think now things are changing because it's a billion-dollar enterprise now. But growing up the way that Daryl and myself grew up, if you partake in this culture, if you were involved in it 25 years ago or whatever, you know, what are you reading those comic books for? You know, they're goofy. They don't mean anything. Yada, yada, yada. And that's far. That's just the furthest from the truth. Comics are parables. They give you foresight. They give you information. The reason why my vocabulary is the way it is in part due to reading comic books as a youth. And now, the funny thing is, shouting out Dr. Frederick Wortham, who got it wrong 50 years ago, Seduction of the Innocent, who got it wrong. and Daryl knows this. He got it wrong. But now, the educational system, now they're trying to make an appeal to comic books and graphic novels. Because this is where the Bill Gates and the Zuckerbergs come from. Anyway, but you got it wrong 50 years ago. Where's Afro Nerd going with this? Anyone familiar with Charles Schulz, Peanuts, goofy comic book but beloved, a comic strip? There's a lesson there that I don't think black folks have gotten. I say black folks specifically in this case. I equate the relationship with black folks and white culture or black folks and police with Charlie Brown and Lucy. How can that be? Repeatedly, Charlie Brown tries to kick the football from Lucy. And Lucy always takes it away, and he falls on his behind. That's the running gag. He does this repeatedly without fail, thinking that Lucy will one day be fair. We have not seen mainstream culture operate fairly with people of color. We cannot continue to attempt to kick that football when it is undoubtedly going to be removed from us. Mr. Warner, as Charlie Brown, was arrested 31 times from the age of 16. He knew the routine. Does it make it right? Does it make it fair?
but he knows the routine. He knows how this script is supposed to go. Why didn't you comply, sir? There's another case that we're seeing now in Harlem that's making, no one was killed from that, but it was another man of color refusing to comply. And the cops have to try to wrestle this guy because he doesn't want to cooperate. He doesn't want to cooperate. So what happens? So what happens? This is what I mean by being an absolute victim. And I don't want to see young men dying. It's horrible to see a game. There's 43. A lot of life still to live. But you, why aren't you working to feed your family? Why do you have multiple kids? I want to go to this clip, but I can go even deeper into this, that, you know what, this is going to be a settlement. His family's going to make some money. It's a horrible situation. I'm going to say what I really want to say, but let's go to the clip. I'm just going to say, we know that Lucy's going to remove that football. Why do you insist on kicking it when you know the routine? Why do you keep on doing that? That's what I want to know. If I know a trap door is always at a certain section in my travels, why do I continue going down that same route? I just want to know. All right. Young Turks on the same issue. Hold on.
We have another case of police using excessive force, this time in Staten Island, where a 43-year-old man by the name of Eric Garner died as a result of a plainclothes police officer putting him in a chokehold. Now, this all started when there was allegedly a fight happening in front of a salon in Staten Island, and witnesses in the area allege that Garner tried to break up the fight. At that point, police officers were called on the scene, and the two individuals that were fighting walked away, and Garner remained. At that point, here's what ensued. The video is difficult to watch, so I want to give you guys that warning. Take a look.
You play a hard way for what? Every time you see me, you want to mess with me. I'm tired of it. It's time today.
This guy right here is forcibly trying to lock somebody up for breaking up a fight.
Everybody standing here, they told you I didn't do nothing. I did not sell nothing. Because every time you see me, you want to harass me, you want to stop me, so I sell a cigarette. I'm minding my business, officer. I'm minding my business. Please just leave me alone. I told you the last time, please leave me alone.
Hold on.
Don't touch me, please.
Damn.
Damn. All right, stop.
Where's your hand, buddy? Stop.
So you can hear him saying, I can't breathe, several times, but they won't let up. The police...
Was he still in the chokehold that whole time? I couldn't tell.
You can't see it because there's Jimmy Gill blocking him.
Yeah, you can't see it.
I presume.
But the cops are standing by what they did. We don't know if any of them are going to face an investigation or any charges for what happened. But a police source says the following. He, meaning Garner, absolutely resisted arrest. He took a fighting stance.
So a couple of things there. One... I don't blame them for saying he resisted arrest. So hold on. Now, first of all, he shouldn't have arrested him in the first place. According to all witnesses on the scene, he was breaking up a fight. Apparently, what he does is he sells cigarettes at 50 cents a pop per cigarette, which is what he does in the neighborhood, and technically it's illegal, and you could get him for that, but who cares? It's not enough.
That's what the cops were saying to him, is that they said he was selling cigarettes.
Right. And so it's not like he's selling heroin and it's a code, cigarettes are a code word. No, he was selling actual cigarettes.
Lucy's.
Yeah, that's the Lucy's, right. So there was no need to escalate it, right? And he was not in a fighting stance. You just saw the video. He wasn't. But at the same time, he didn't put his hands behind his back. They had to bring him to the ground. But that's why you shouldn't arrest people for no reason, because some percentage are going to get mad that they're being arrested for no reason. They're not necessarily going to strike back at you. He never hit them, right?
No.
But they're going to be reluctant to say, yeah, okay, fine, arrest me, put your hands behind your back. And you've got to be careful with a chokehold. Oh, it's called a chokehold! And look, I know that when I used to wrestle around And I did wrestling when I was a kid in, on the team, and then we'd wrestle around with guys outside of that and use other moves as we saw in wrestling on TV and stuff. And you were always told that if a guy can say, I can't breathe, that means he can breathe, okay? Which turns out to be not true, right?
I can't believe what you learned in wrestling isn't true.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, and normally, again, what I was told is if you do the V-neck position, that it applies pressure here and can knock you out, but it can't choke you. And it looked like he was doing the V-neck one as opposed to bringing the bar of the of your arm across the throat.
All right. You get the gist. Again, shouting out the Young Turks, courtesy of YouTube, discussing the Eric Garner tragedy. And it was a tragedy. And to hear it and to see it, it's a rough road. I'm not going to be so flippant because I don't want folks to think that I don't care. I care about all life, and especially life of black people and black men. I'm a black man. There's black men on this show. But my issue is we've got to be smarter. And we have to stop this deal of noncompliance, because is it worth it? Is it worth it? You're not going to win. Life is not fair. It's not. There's this element, and especially in stereotypical black thought. I'm saying stereotypical black thought is that things are supposed to work a certain way, but there's no evidence that it's doing that right now. There's a lot of things in this world that are supposed to work a certain way, but you must deal with these matters by how they are present themselves, not by how it's supposed to be. And this, you know, in the real world, these police officers should have ignored this thing. This guy is so low on the totem pole. He is so low, it's not even worth the paperwork. And now you jeopardize your pension, you jeopardize your standing in your community. This is looking at it from toward the police officers. It's not worth dealing with this guy. And you have people who are really doing major harm in these communities. Major harm. And you're going after a guy like Lucy. But the reality is they're not going to be fair. They're not going to be fair. And if he had owned up to that realization, he would be alive today. Does it make what they did right? I'm just saying we've got to stop being Charlie Brown to the white man's Lucy. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I saw another videotape of another young man with cheerleaders in the background talking about how unfair it is, but I'm also seeing a young man who is resisting arrest. He doesn't want to comply. Why is that? And then we got to come to this guy's defense. And then I have to ask that we have babies being shot in the face by people that look like them. And we're not apt to make a move on that. But when it's a power structure thing, when it's a, quote-unquote, the police or a white perpetrator, we're ready to rock and roll. We're ready to do something. But there are people who are dying in an equally tragic fashion as Eric Garner, and we don't seem to be motivated. We don't hear from Sharpton. Sharpton read this young man's eulogy. He was there just as a script. He's going to be there because he's part of the script also. So when I heard Sharpton bellowing, I felt nothing. Because I've been here before. I'm going to give the mic to Captain, but I've said this before. There's a statement that's been attributed to Albert Einstein. Attributed to him. No one really knows if he's the only one that said it. But he did say that repeating the same thing over a game and expecting a different outcome is the definition of insanity. People, doing the same thing over and over again, always trying to kick a football when you know this girl is going to remove it, is insanity. I can't be any more clear than that. We can't keep on doing the same things. We know the police are not going to treat your black ass fairly, but you insist on not complying, and then you cry when you end up dead. Your family cries. That's all I'm saying. Employ a bit of Afro-nerdism, some metaphysical chess,
then see what happens. Q-Storm, our family member, I told him something about how to conduct yourself with the police. He will tell you he was extricated out of a situation because he did the Afro nerd way. They let him go. Let him alone. I gave him a Batman move. Nandar Parbat is here. I'm giving you the move. Captain, go ahead.
Well, once again, the syntax of the Matrix is not words. It's mathematics and emotion. And there was someone that said on this show, when you think too emotionally, it defies your ability to reason. Oh, yeah, it was the captain that said that. So let's get into it, okay? He was arrested 31 times. Cops come on the scene not listening to what the people around the area were saying. Because why? Thinking emotionally. Emotions have the ability to destroy your ability to reason. Okay? So that's the cops. Now, Mr. Garner, he's been through the system. He knows how it works. When the cops tell you to comply, if you're not thinking emotionally, you comply. You know what it's going to be. They lock you up. You're out the next day. Got a little. You probably won't even have any bail. Ray. But once you start thinking emotionally, it leads into two wrongs that don't make a right. You understand? The cops didn't listen to what the people were saying. They just went, hey, this is the same guy we arrested every time. I'm tired of seeing. That's what's going through their head. That's the emotion, not reasoning. He's doing the same thing. Look, man, why are you always harassing me? Why are you doing this? Cops tell you to comply. Comply. Two wrongs don't make a right. He ended up dead because of the emotion. The emotion. No one was reasoning. Cops didn't reason. He didn't reason. See what happened? See what happened? This is the syntax of the Matrix. Real easy to read. Real easy when you use the right syntax. He was emotional. The cops were emotional. And you can't be too emotional. If you're too emotional, it defies your ability to reason. You make the wrong judgments. And then, in our case, as black people, we end up dead. And that's what happened here. That's what happened here. If he complied, actually, the cops should not have even bothered him. But they're thinking emotionally. He's thinking emotionally. Clash, boom, dead. This is what happens. Now, we could get into all the semantics. We could get into all the extracurricular activities. The cops could have this, he could have done this, he should have been doing this, he should have been doing that. That's all fine and dandy, but that's the reality of the situation. It's just the language of the Matrix. That's the syntax of the Matrix. This is what happens. You have to understand the Matrix that you're in. It's mathematics and emotions, and you have to be in control of the two. And when you go against the mathematics that equates to emotions, that's normally when you mess up, all right? Because the mathematics looks you in your face. There you go. Back over to you, Seraph, nerd.
Daryl, anything else you want to add to this, or?
Well, it's just like I said there. Do I agree with the arrest? No. Do I agree that he should have complied? Yeah, I do agree that he should have complied. But that doesn't give him the right to do this. They took a man's life here. All right? Now, should he have known better and just complied? Most likely. But here's the thing that you guys are glossing over. Is he a hardened criminal? I don't know what he is now. He's gone through the system. But he tried to do the right thing. He tried to do the right thing and died.
He didn't comply, Daryl. Well, yeah, but he didn't comply, Daryl. Listen, you're telling me
there's no such thing as redemption.
Not
is that what you're trying
times.
To tell me?
No, what I'm saying is, and you're not going to be able to deconstruct the logic here, because you are an Afro nerd. That's right. You looked at Mr. Spock like I did. Logically, this is an untenable situation. These cops are not going to treat you fairly. Do you want to live or do you want to die? Logically, you've done this. You've been in the system 31 times since the age of 16. You know if you comply, the percentage that you will survive this ordeal move up greatly. If you do not comply, this could end very badly. This is pure math logic. We've seen this before. Another young man of color, he's fighting with the cops. He's not complying. He's bleeding into the cement. It's blood on the cement. He survived that ordeal barely, but the thing is, he didn't want to cooperate. He doesn't want to cooperate. He does not want to do that. So there is a, for every reaction, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
But
doesn't mean it's right. I'm not saying it's right.
Non-compliance equals death, though. That's why. Listen,
Darryl,
the arrest.
Yes, it does. But black people, yes. But white people, maybe not. And even that can be deconstructed because there was a white man, a white elderly man, tragically, he survived it. It's horrible to watch. Complete innocent. He's pulled over by the police. He gets out of his car. He approaches right before he approaches the police officer, he's reaching into his car, pulling out something long. He gets shot. He doesn't die, but it's a 70-year-old man pulling out a cane. White man, the cop falls to the ground crying. He just pulled out his cane. Darryl, he just pulled out his cane. White male, gets shot, 70 years old. What I'm saying is there's a way you have to conduct yourself with the police, or even a white elderly man, a white elderly man could be wiped off the earth. And he was lucky. And the cop was sincerely apologetic because he knew he effed up. So what I'm saying is there's a way this script is supposed to go, and you better get your lines right. So
okay.
I'm saying.
And again, my anger isn't to the cop that had him in the chokehold. It's to the other ones who are hearing him plead and standing around and not saying anything.
Darryl, listen. I'm going to beat this out of you. Affectionately and figuratively.
You're great.
You're right, Darryl. You're right. But you know what? The world does not operate by shoulda, coulda, woulda. This is what's going to happen to you. You have to comply if you're going to survive. First of all, I like my dental work, and I like my cleanliness. I'm not going to be tussling on cement with cops. Yes, officer, whatever you want. Officer, whatever you need to do. We'll talk about it at the station. I got to survive. Ultron comes out next year. I got to survive. Let's go to 703. I keep it simple. 703.
Hey, David, it's Vice of the Life again. How you doing?
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Hey, quick thing. I think you're being very dismissive of Darryl, and I think, you probably need to check on that. There are ways of putting down people. It sounds like you're blaming the victim, not... This guy ain't clean.
Man,
I don't know the whole history of it. You know, but at the end of the day, he did not deserve to die. Period.
I got to tell you the same thing. We know this. I'm just telling you, we can continue to talk about how things are supposed to operate, or we can tell our young men how to deal with these people, and we have to be started. We're not going to win this, man.
He's 40. He ain't no young man. He's 40 years old. He was standing up on a score, acting stupid. He should have shut it down and said, okay, I'm gone, move on. Me and you, we know the survival skills, you know, of a black man in America. Got that. Got the T-shirt. But it's almost like, when cops go to drunken bars to move people out, there are ways to subdue people without them putting them in the chokehold and killing them.
They're not going to do that with you, with Tyson. They're not doing that. I'm going to say
they're not doing that.
They're not treating you fairly. They're killing white men. They shot a white man coming out of his car with a cane. So they're definitely going to shoot your black ass. That's what's happening.
But the difference is the cop in that case, the cop there is apologetic, all right? My anger isn't to the one who had him restrained. My anger is to the other officers when he's screaming, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And you already got them on the ground. Not one of them, not one of them said, yo, hold up. Yo. He's saying he can't breathe. We're all here. We got your back. Not one of them.
Captain. Yes. Didn't I see this same episode in 1989 in Do the Right Thing with Radio Raheem? We've seen it before. Yeah, you can't. Listen, you two are intelligent, vastly intelligent men. But I'm just coming at it from the perspective of, and I can't make it any more clearer. To repeat the same thing, and again, saw it in cinema, which means that it happened 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. We've seen this before. The cops are not treating black, they're not going to treat your black behind fairly. They're not going to do that. So if they're not going to do that, what do? You get smarter. I bought a new car recently. I'm outfitting this car with surveillance equipment. Why do you think I'm doing that? Because I don't want any problems. I'm not going to spend $3,000 or more on rims on this car. I'm going to surveil my car because I don't want any problems. I'm thinking. This show is called Afro Nerd because we want to impart thinking skills, because this is what's happening. This is how it should go. He should not have been killed. He should have been left alone. He was just selling stupid cigarettes. But you know what? These folks are not operating that way. So what do you do? That's all. Come on, gentlemen.
Great show.
Come on, gentlemen. You're not going to deconstruct this argument because you know I'm right. Daryl, I do not want to see you killed, Daryl. I don't. You're my friend, man. And I hope that you know better how to conduct yourself when these cops do not treat you fairly. You better have your wits about you. That's all I'm saying. You better have your wits about you. And Bison, I know you. You better have your wits about you. Now, you could be like Raekwon and be emotional and not have your wits about you, and then you will see how the circumstances will change. You better be thinking, because they don't expect you to think. That is actually more threatening to them, is if you're thinking. You start reciting some police codes and reciting some laws, then they may actually back off, because I've seen that also. I've seen black men recite codes to cops, then all of a sudden they got shook by words. So that's because you're thinking. They do not respect black people because you don't come off like you're thinking people. Enough. There's a reason why you listen to the show, because you know what I'm saying is true. We saw this in 1989 on film, gentlemen. Why are we still seeing it 20-something years later? Even Raheem didn't comply. Come on, man. These people are not going to treat you fairly. They're not going to do that. So what do you do? What do you do?
In that moment, I die. In that moment,
come on,
I die.
Oh,
and that's
please, Daryl.
And wait, wait.
Daryl, don't go there, Daryl.
Wait.
Oh, brother.
Wait. You're going after him on this. I'm going after the incident. It's in progress. It's already in progress. I'm going after the other cops. All right? You're thinking I'm protecting him? He's already restrained on the ground. All right? Right there. That's already happening. But in the instant he starts dying, it's the other cop's responsibility to protect him. And they did do that. And I think that's
well,
a great way
Captain,
to end it.
Captain, you got seconds. But I'll say this. I will pour a bottle of liquor in your demise as I watch Ultron, Daryl. So I got to say, my ass is watching Ultron and painted toenails the following year. That's me. Keeping
good show, guys.
Good accent.
A lot of emotion here. It was a great show. Good job.
Daryl, you better live. You better live, boy. I don't want to hear this.
Easy. I'm not throwing Lucy's on the corner.
All right, everybody, relax. We're out of time, guys. Bison, good, great call. All right,
gentlemen. Repeat that, Bison.
Hey, you be safe at Afro Punk, okay? I don't want to hear about
you. Oh, come on. Yeah.
All right, let's go, gentlemen. Let's go.
August Alcina's not performing there, Bison. Don't worry about it. All right, gentlemen. It's been real. Wednesday, 7, keep it alive, but intelligent. Drummers and Healers, F Deluxe. See you on Wednesday.
Woo!